Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the Bronx, New York, this is the Brovian Talks. Follow us on Twitter for news, information, videos, and stuff by following us on Twitter at Brovian93. At Brovian93, that is BROVIAN93. BROVIAN93 on Twitter. So here we are, Saturday evening into Sunday morning. What, 3 days left to go into Election Day? And this is the part of the campaign in which persuasion pretty much becomes get out the vote and mobilize the support and encourage them to get into the polls. Trump and Hillary, Jill Stein and Gary Johnson are all traveling across the country in key states to get a 270. For the longest time, I've been saying that this race has been advantage Hillary, but as the weeks and last couple of days have passed, it's no longer advantage Hillary, it's now edge Hillary. She has a slight edge because of the way the map is and demographics in some states. But the election is not over yet. 3 weeks ago, commentators, not us, the commentators, predicting a Hillary landslide. I told you guys about a week ago, wait a minute, you know, this is Hillary Clinton we're talking about, and with her, it's never too late. And it's never over until it's over. And then we had those emails come out, the Clinton Foundation stuff come out, Hillary losing her cool, the media losing their minds, really showing their true, disgusting colors. And now we have a pretty close election, but the math is still in Hillary's favor, but it's going to be a close one, no doubt about it. And of course, Hillary has more ways to win than Trump does. Trump has one, maybe two paths to victory, while Hillary has like 7 or 8. And Jill Stein and Gary Johnson are doing their part to get as many votes as possible to become a powerful voice in American politics. You know, the polling right now has Jill Stein around 2%, some at 3%. Gary Johnson is at 6%, bordering 7 or 8. And, you know, in my experience looking at polls on past elections, on state elections, on presidential elections, I've come to notice that come Election Day, the third and fourth parties do as well. That their vote, you know, drops. And one of the two major party candidates, if not both of them, really gets a boost in the polls. Now, looking at the map the way it is, Hillary Clinton, all Hillary Clinton has to do is play defense. Because let's face it, the early voting is always, always advantage Democrats. And a lot of these people who voted early voted before the email thing came out, or the reopening of the investigation. More than now, a week ago now, maybe a little more than that. So who knows? Maybe this early voting might influence the election. you know, it was a really close race. All the people voted early back when it was, back when the headlines were mostly, if not all, anti-Trump were being cast. Now that it's turning on Hillary now, some people might want to change their minds. I have no idea, but I would assume that at least some of them do. And, you know, the key for Hillary is turnout. The key for Trump is that Republicans come home. Because, as I said last show, if this election is anywhere near close, which I think it will be, Trump needs 90-plus Republican vote. Hillary needs high turnout among blacks, high turnout among Latinos, and high turnout among college, among young people. And, of course, women, but that's a given already, probably. Trump needs the Republican Party to come back home. He needs something close to the Mitt Romney vote. 2012, Mitt Romney got 93% of the Republican vote. Trump probably doesn't need 93, but he needs 90, 91 to have a chance to win the election. So let's face it, McMullen in the West, Gary Johnson across the country, people like Glenn Beck and Bill Kristol, who are attacking the guy on a daily basis, that's going to affect the Republican vote. And if it doesn't, that shows how much power they really have among Republican and conservative circles. This election isn't really a referendum on Trump. It's also a referendum on which voices hold the most weight or hold any weight among Republican circles. And if Trump wins and he gets plus 90%, which he needs, it shows that people like them really have no voice. And for Hillary, again, it's a winning game. She's 3 days away. She has a hope and pray nothing else comes out on the next 3 days. And, you know, she could hold the unity rally in Philadelphia with her, Bill, or President Obama, Michelle Obama, and try to, you know, offset some gains outside of the city. I believe she's also going to she's also going to Detroit before listening as well to again get big turnout in Detroit, especially among the African American community. You know, if she could get near Obama turnout numbers, she'll be fine. She'll be elected. You know, and you look at, and these polls are so, you know, all over the place. You have some polls Hillary up by 4, some polls Trump up by 1. So we have no idea where this race is. We know it's a Hillary edge. And if Trump does win, it'll be a huge story. And you could pretty much guarantee the left-wingers will lose ahead. Now, looking at some of the polling data, at least among the national vote, nationwide. And I'm looking at the four-person race. Because let's face it, as I said constantly on this show, this is a four-candidate race. Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, Jill Stein, and Gary Johnson. I'm just going to read you a couple of polls just to show you where they are. Fox News poll, taken November 1st, till November 3rd, has Hillary up by 2. Gary Johnson at 5, Jill Stein at 2%. Rasmussen has been tied, with Gary Johnson at 4 and Jill Stein at 1. And the Reuters poll has Hillary up by 4. So again, it's still Edge Hillary, and it's really surprising that Gary Johnson, who at one point was polling high single digits to low double digits, anywhere from 12 to 8% on almost every poll, none of the polls taken recently have him above 6. That's a huge drop in his vote. Jill Stein pretty much has been consistent with the election. Now, some polls have up as high as 5, but she's been, you know, pretty much around 2, 3, 1 for the entire campaign. I suspect she'll do 2%. 5% seems a bit off looking at the polling data, but, you know, who knows? It's up to you who vote. Gary Johnson, I think, will do about 5%. You know, he got 1% last time. He should do 5%. I think he has a core number of supporters, plus a bunch of disgruntled Republicans who hate Trump enough to vote for Gary Johnson and could possibly cost him the presidency. Or even Hillary the presidency, because, you know, maybe there's no Gary Johnson, they vote for Hillary. But a Johnson vote could be interesting to see. If he wasn't in the race, where would these people go? And, you know, this election obviously going to be a lower attendance than it was 4 years ago. I mean, the country's tired of it. I'm tired of it. It's been going on for about 2 years now, probably since Christmas of 2014, back when we had Jeb Bush forming an exploratory committee, or that post-Thanksgiving, somewhere in late November, December, Jeb Bush formed the exploratory committee, and now we're here 2 years later, or just about 2 years later on Election Day, with 3 days to go, and let's face it, whether you like Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump or not, the majority of Americans can't stand either one of them. And I said it before, and I'll say it again. If we were in 1964, Hillary Clinton would win this election in a landslide. It wouldn't be close. Because two reasons. Number one, there wasn't this much distrust of government. And also, people have the qualifications. First Lady, Secretary of State, Senator of New York twice. You know, lawyer, activist. But since A, this is Hillary Clinton we're talking about, and B, this is 2016, many people, if not most people in this country, distrust government. We know Hillary Clinton's record. We know her email scandal, her crony foundation, a political machine, which many people consider evil, and that she has a set of rules of her own, and many people feel she doesn't abide by the law. And somebody like Donald Trump, who has this big ego, this big mouth, who says controversial things, would have a prayer. But in 2016, people are angry. The government has failed many, many people, and globalization, we like it or not, has destroyed the middle class in the Western world. It has. It's destroyed our middle class in the United States. It's taken jobs away from us. No question about it. So, this election is globalism against putting America first. And you have Jill Stein and Gary Johnson, very intelligent people, who know their issues very well and are running on issues that many people feel are being ignored, like student debt, war on drugs, climate change, criminal justice reform, you know, the Federal Reserve. All these issues that the two major parties, for the most part, well, at least from the mainstream media, we're not talking about, these two candidates are. And if you feel strongly about any of those issues, or any other issues these candidates are talking about, then vote for them. You know, I mean, we have four choices. In some places, you have five or six. You know, there are other people out there running for president who, yes, may not, you know, have no chance of getting there, but maybe if they get enough votes, they get some media attention, the issues come to light, and they might be addressed. What the hell? And I must say, I've been following the Jill Stein campaign relatively closely. I'm going to be completely transparent here. I did consider voting for Jill Stein. She's completely capable of holding elected office or a major elective office. And I must say, I enjoyed her campaign a lot. I like the way she used social media, going on Facebook Live, you know, going to all the, you know, all the events. Activating with activists, going to the debates, protesting. You know, she did everything possible to get her name out there. But you turn on TV primetime news, she never gets mentioned. I was with somebody the other day, and he was talking about the North Dakota pipeline. And I was telling him, well, if you really care about that issue, you should vote for Jill Stein. And he said, who the hell is Jill Stein? And I go, that's a candidate running for president. And we still have people in this country who have no idea who Gary Johnson is, and they have no idea who Jill Stein is. Everything possible to get media attention and to get attraction. And it's not her fault. Believe me, it's not. I mean, she's doing the best she could. Gary Johnson, on the other hand, Gary Johnson had a chance to really make a breakthrough in his election, but he blew it. Number one, his vice presidential nominee, Bill Weld, complete bust. I mean, talk about, you know, I don't know how many votes he's going to court Gary Johnson, but some of the things he says about, you know, people voting for Hillary Clinton, is just, I mean, you know, you're a third-party candidate, you're polling in a high single digit, and they're encouraging people to not vote for you. I mean, that's just weird. And Gary Johnson, I mean, let's face it, he's a two-term governor. He's worked with Democrats. He's a smart guy. But he's just a bit weird. I mean, you know, for somebody who won two terms in a battleground state or a purple state, the stuff he does makes you wonder, how do you win those elections? I mean, I think Gary Johnson can do serious interviews. I think Gary Johnson makes speeches. I mean, he's not a moron. And he actually had the media after him. He had a spotlight. He had, you know, nightly cable interviews. Now, on some networks, few interviews, but he had some. He was on The Late Show. He was on Bill Maher. He was on CNN. He was on The Morning Show, too. A lot of them. You know, you can't name a leader that you like. You know, talking through your tongue or something. And it comes to a point in which you just have to, you know, be more controlled. I mean, he had a chance. Really, he had a chance to be the 2016 version of Ross Perot. Steal a vote from both sides and to make a breakthrough for libertarians. And my God, talk about spoiling a great opportunity. But obviously, it's Standing Rock. I'm sorry. The conversation about Joe Stone was about Standing Rock, and I told him, you know, the only presidential candidate talking about Standing Rock is Joe Stein. As I said earlier, he said, who in the hell is Joe Stein? I went to an article into a video of Joe Stein talking about it, and he said, I never heard of it before. And I told him to go check it out. So, you know, for all you Joe Stein supporters out there, I might have gotten you one more vote. I know another friend of mine who's been for Joe Stein because of TPP, which is a huge issue. So, you know, there's a lot of vote for Joe Stein out there. I don't know how many votes she'll get. I suspect she'll get about 2%. Gary Johnson might do 5, possibly 6. What did John Anderson get in 80? I don't know. Hold on a second. I don't think he'll get John Anderson numbers. He might get close to John Anderson numbers, but I don't think he'll get there exactly. Because his campaign, let's be honest, has been a disaster. And it's not the campaign's fault, it's his fault. But our VP nominee and himself. I mean, when you run a campaign, you have to be more disciplined than him. Now, Trump's undisciplined, but he's Trump. Gary Johnson, you know, Trump's been an effective businessman up until 2010. Gary Johnson's been Gary Johnson for quite a while. Probably even longer than that. Before I end the show today, I want to point out that as I was prepping for the show, I saw an article that says Dragon Ball Super is getting an English dub, and it will be by Funimation. So I'm not exactly sure when they're going to air it in America, but it's been confirmed that Funimation will be releasing Dragon Ball Super in English in the United States in the near future. How near? I have no idea, but it's good news. You know, huge Dragon Ball Z fan. I've seen every Dragon Ball Z episode, almost every Dragon Ball episode. Dragon Ball GT has a couple. Wasn't a fan of it. And I saw the first half of Dragon Ball Super. I saw when he fought Beerus, the Frieza one, and a tournament. I stopped it when Goku and the Z Fighters met the King of Everything. I started watching it because A, I started school, and B, identifying the English sub ones. So I'm behind by a lot now. It's fun to watch. You know, the movies are pretty good. Battle of Gods. They were pretty good movies. And tomorrow, we'll do more politics. I might make an endorsement on the show tomorrow. I'm not sure yet, but I might. For President and Senate here in New York. And before I get to tomorrow, I'll be giving my comments on debate number two between Robert Levin Wilson, the Green Party nominee, and Alex Merced, the Libertarian Party nominee, probably tomorrow afternoon around 11 o'clock. The debate is already on my Twitter page. I'll post a link to the debate on the description box for the next episode. And again, you know, these two candidates were civil. They weren't all talking points, all talking heads. They discussed issues in depth. And, you know, I saw part of it at the whole thing yet. I'm going to watch the whole thing probably tonight or tomorrow morning before I go out. But I'm going to say that both of these candidates are extremely, extremely bright. And full, you know, disclosure here, or whatever the word is, I'm a registered Republican. And I'm telling you, as a Republican, the Republican Party better draft Alex Merced for any office they want, whether it's Congress, Senate, state legislator, anything. This guy is bright, he's informative. He's a little bit too fast for my liking, but this guy knows his stuff. The party would be a fool not to give him a chance at an elected office on a GOP line, because believe me, he would do a great job in D.C. for the Republican Party. Robin Wilson, same thing for Democrats. Democrats, draft this woman, because believe me, the singing could be a bit much, I know, but you know what? She's bright, well-spoken, full of energy, and she can. But she cross the aisle and get things done. That's what we need now most. Out of anything else, we need to get things done and get this country united together. And you know what? If a Libertarian and a Green can come together and do more than one debate, have a civil dialogue, and actually find common ground, there is hope for America. So I'll see you tomorrow.